everybody. How's it going? Welcome back to Emerald City Hockey Post Game Live. And interesting one. We decided to do this one in person. Why not?
Yeah. No, I figured, you know, just give it a try, right? Season's almost over. Experiment with some things. So, yeah, good to have you here in person, Dylan.
Yep, definitely, definitely. You know, this was a late season Kraken game. Maybe a little bit more lively, though, than the last couple that we've seen from the Kraken, just because, I mean, look, they were able to score more than one goal.
They scored three. I know. Three whole goals, Dylan, in this economy.
Far more significant than what they've been able to do recently. So that was nice to see from everybody. There's some good stuff to talk about this one. But at the same time, they did their job and they lost in regulation, which is what they needed to do for draft position.
Yep. They took care of business, which is important because they still have another two draft. Well, now only one draft spots they could potentially fall. They'll be picking or they'll have either the eighth or ninth best lottery odds, depending on the results of their last game and what the Flames do. But it does secure a little bit better draft position for them.
Yeah. So that is good stuff there. Go ahead and start over here in chat and see what everybody's feeling after this one. Zoe, that was actually better than I was expecting. Nicole, they lost kind of fun. And then back to Zoe, three goals is more than we've scored in one game in a long time. It has been a very long time, RJ. They do seem like it's always been a mixed bag, these Winnipeg games, right? There are games where they play them pretty close. There was that rough patch there, but they were losing everybody in that. But yeah, no, they seem to match up pretty well against Winnipeg, similar to the Sharks against us, I'd say, RJ.
Right. The flow of the game goes pretty evenly. And I think that just the negative about Winnipeg is that just the defensive lapses, they will hurt you on those. They have the skilled players to do it. And it's always their best guys that seem to be the difference makers, whether it's Kyle Connor in this one or, Nick Ehlers also contributed, but, you know, between Scheifele and just all those guys, they have the talent to make the Kraken pay when push comes to shove in a game like this, but the Kraken always seem to play them close. And yeah, I mean, I know the Kraken did score five against Arizona pretty darn recently, but still it's been a while since it's been a real team that they've scored this many against, you know?
Yeah. That, and you know, they were able to score some goals during some of the Shane Wright games and stuff, but this did feel a little bit different. It was nice to see them have that effort. Nice to see stuff like that. Gore Ducartier for that goal. That was really nice to see, just to show that they still have it, right? Like, it's still in there somewhere kicking around and hopefully ready for next season. But yeah, the defensive lapses, I mean, you can point to some pretty clear defensive lapses for almost all of the goals for Winnipeg. And it's just kind of the same old that we've seen from them all year long. And that's the one thing where it's, again, we talked about a lot of things that kind of have to change for next year. And that's one of them that's going to have to change for next year.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you know, you have Larson on that first goal, just looking behind the net. And I did say to you, that's not Larson-like. And you know, well, this season, actually, you know, maybe it is. And then Brian Dumoulin with a couple rough plays on the next two goals. But I don't know. It's at this point of the season, I think the keeping that focus is really just going to be a struggle.
Yeah, I know. Super chat here from DJ Singletone. Just one more thank you for all the coverage all year. You're very welcome, DJ Singletone. Appreciate that and appreciate all the work you put in over on the Discord following all the Kraken prospects all year long. It's always fantastic stuff that you do there. Seriously, if anybody, you haven't checked out the Discord yet, if you're watching this on YouTube, link should be in the description down below. You can go and check out the Discord. Lots of great stuff in there, including lots of great coverage from a lot of people about the prospects and how their playoff runs are going right now in all the various major junior leagues. It's been a lot of fun to check that out.
Great community there. And also, five short of 500. We're almost at 500 on the Discord. So we could get over that number by the time the season ends. That'd be pretty awesome.
Definitely. B, got to keep telling myself that losses are good now, actually. Yes, we are in that awkward stage of the season where that is, in fact, the case. Nicole, Gord 2-point night 2. Didn't think I'd see that again. It has been a little while, but this was nice to see Yanni Gord kind of wake up.
It was. I mean, we saw the energy from him that we're more accustomed to seeing throughout the rest of the season. I mean, if you look at that, the Cartier goal, like, I know it's a 2-on-0 and I know it just seems like an obvious slam dunk, but Yanni has to do some real work to pull Hellebuck over to one side. I mean, that's a great goalie over there. And you know, it's hard if he's going to just take that in right down the middle, and he gives Cartier time to open up too. Mm-hmm. Cartier wasn't ready for that initially. You know, a lot of players, I think they might just throw that to their teammates' backhand and put them in a bad spot, but Yanni knew exactly what he was doing there.
Yeah. It was great situational awareness from Yanni Gord on that goal. Light with the super chat. Thought this was a win-win. Played close, Cart's goal, Riker assist, we lost. If we could have this game, if we could have this next game, I see the end of the season stretch as a success. Agreed, right? Like, this was more of that lose fun that we've been looking for, RJ, right? Keep it close. Show us some good stuff. We just talked about Yanni Gourde showing things, Riker picking up another point. I mean, that's the kind of significant stuff that we wanted to see down the stretch here, even knowing, you know, we all know losses are actually better for them.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, if you can lose a game, just having some of those defensive miscues that you're going to have to focus on anyway next season, but you're able to score some goals. I just having experienced both very recently, this feels a lot better. No question for me.
Definitely, definitely. And Julia kind of being on that same vibe here. Honestly, an ideal game. We lose, but it's still fun to watch. That it was, B. That was definitely more exciting than the last couple games. So that's nice. Agreed. And Brooke, always love to see a Cartier goal for sure. Sam, they made it entertaining while still losing. So I see it as a win-win. And even though he's been ice cold as of late, why was Tolvanen scratched of all people? This was a little bit of a head scratcher for us too, RJ.
Yeah, I don't know exactly why. I mean, my theory was maybe he was a little banged up. At this time of year, everybody's dealing with a little something. And, you know, with two games left, if that was becoming just a little too much of an issue, I would understand if they just kind of sat him down. We probably wouldn't hear a ton about that anyway. Maybe we'll get some kind of update after the game from Hakstol. I don't know. But that would be my guess, even though I have nothing to suggest that he is injured. But this time of year, that kind of thing happens.
Yeah, it does. And then I see this in here. Oh, where was it? Josh, glad to see Tuna putting up one more before heading to free agency. Hopefully he's picked up somewhere in the offseason. I think he will. I think he proved enough both, you know, in Colorado, it was kind of like a fit issue. Makes that kind of gets that early trade over to the Seattle Kraken. I think he showed enough with the Kraken that he'll end up on a roster somewhere around the league late, you know, for the start of next season. Kind of heartbreaking for the Wings. Yeah, that was a crazy situation to determine the end of the playoffs there in the Eastern Conference, huh?
Yeah, we did have that on our second screens during the intermission, especially as we were following all that developing. That was fun to be with you for,
yes,
as hockey fans, just getting to enjoy that. Sorry about the Penguins, Dylan.
I know. I said I wasn't going to root for it, and then I couldn't help myself at the end, just to be disappointed when it actually ended. Yeah, it was good stuff there. All right, let's see. Andrew, nothing could make me sadder than learning we may lose Forslund. Yeah, so that has been arguably the biggest Kraken story of the day. You know, bigger than anything that happened over the course of the game, I would say, is this the rumors that John Forslund may be leaving the Root broadcast to go to Boston to take over for Jack Edwards there as the play-by-play. I mean, we don't know anything. Like, yeah, we don't have any insider information or anything like that. A lot of the stuff that we would say I've seen other places, right? He is from the area there. He has family still on the East Coast, you know, his kids, that kind of stuff. And, you know, look, it's a pretty prestigious job too, right? It's an Original Six team. It's a heck of a hockey market, all of that kind of stuff. So if he was to be interested in it, I think there's a lot of reasons why it would make sense for him, right? All of those things that I just said, I could see somebody deciding to go in that direction. But again, we don't know anything beyond just what's been talked about. And one of the questions that I had for you, RJ, while we were watching the game is, when would that news be announced, right? Because it could either happen at the end of the Kraken season or it could happen at the end of the Bruins postseason. I think that you would wait until the end of the Bruins postseason. You want to give Edwards like kind of the moment in the spotlight, let him finish strong without already everybody talking about who his successor is going to be. So I would think that we're not going to definitively know until after the Bruins postseason ends. But I mean, maybe Friday, yeah, we get something. I don't know.
Yeah, well, for that reason, I think they would wait until the Bruins postseason was over. It just makes sense, like you said, to kind of give Jack Edwards the spotlight before he ends up retiring. So I think it'll be a little while before we know for sure. And, you know, on the Forslund situation, like you said, we don't have any inside information. We don't know. But if you can put yourself in those shoes, it does seem like an attractive opportunity. One thing we do know, though, is that he loves it in Seattle. Mm-hmm. You know, and it could be a great opportunity that it might make sense to leave, but regardless, he does love it here. He loves it in Seattle, and it's got to be, if that job is offered to him, it's got to be a tough decision for him.
Definitely, definitely. Andrew with the super chat, I'm cool with anything. Just the last home loss against the Sharks still makes me feel a little existential. Love the reference there to Devin Cooley. And yeah, I mean, I don't we talked about it. I mentioned it earlier, right? Like, we're kind of to the Jets what the Sharks are to us, RJ. And it's just still these Sharks games are just ridiculous.
I know. You just throw out the records whenever those two teams play each other. And I don't know. I mean, they got goalied and by a goalie who, and then he had a really rough game against Edmonton last night. That's mm-hmm. the ups and downs of goaltending in the NHL, though.
Yep, that it is. B, kind of random, but I love Cartier on the PK. He was really good out there tonight, plus a goal. Definitely worthy of a Cartier party. Yes, this was a Cartier party kind of game from him, for sure. This is the thing with the PKers and the potential options you have if you are the Seattle Kraken coaching staff, because you've got Cartier who can play on the PK. You've got Matty who can play on the PK if you needed him to. You're going to have Shane Wright next year who can play on the PK. Hell, you could have Ryan Winterton next season play for you on the PK. He's done a fantastic job doing that in Coachella Valley. They are never going to be at a loss for players that they can send out there shorthanded. You know, I know obviously Wennberg played a bunch of big minutes for them. They've been kind of rotating guys in and out to kind of pick up the slack for him the rest of the way this season. But yeah, I mean, Cartier looked natural out there, as, you know, kind of could be expected.
Yeah, I like the momentum that he's building for himself at the end of this season too. I think he's played some of his best hockey over the last month. And as someone who's probably going to be relied on a little bit more with some of those veterans we talked about, like Belmar, Tatar, Yamamoto probably not being back, I mean, Cartier is going to have to go into that real full-time role and be not only some secondary scoring, which he's been able to do recently, but also kind of be a bit more of a pest. Like, he's kind of developed that and added that to his skill set over the last month or two. And as the games start to matter again, like they will next season, that's going to be huge.
Yes, it will. Got a super chat here from Patrick. I just realized that you're in the same room, lol. Well, let's hope for luck in the draft lottery. Anyone headed to KVIC prep for death metal? Oh, that sounds like a fun time, Patrick. Hope you enjoy yourself there. And yes, there was lots of people shocked to see us together for this one. It was kind of a sneaky trip up here for me. Mm-hmm. Didn't really talk too much about it, but good stuff. And we will definitely see if I end up, there we go,
yeah,
maybe at a Flatstick pub location, right? The wonderful sponsor of our post-game lives. It I don't could know. Happen. It could happen. Could
and
happen.
Patrick, if you're scorekeeping Thursday night at KCI, you might run into me.
That'll be fun. Olivia, at least they had fun with it. Seeing all the interview clips from Yanni and Bjorki about carts and then passing franchise record for hits just reminds me how good the future will be. Yeah, I was shocked, RJ, in this one when Ty Cartier, it was like the middle of the second period, and there's like, oh yeah, it was when he scored. And they're like, oh yeah, and he's already got 7 hits tonight. Like, what is he doing? Like, it's got to be the quietest 7-hit performance that I've seen in a long time. And I don't even know what he ended up finishing.
That's what I'm looking up right now.
I'm sure more than the 7. But yeah, I mean, he's just kind of gone around.
Oh, 7.
Yeah, okay.
That was the end of that.
He cooled off after he scored a goal. He was like, oh yeah, I'm a skill guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he's had quite the year.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I talked about him kind of getting under other players' skin too and being a bit of a pest. Like, hitting, throwing the body around that much, that'll do it.
Yes, definitely. And Sam, did you also see that Lauzon set the single season record for hits? Not too shabby for him. And at least he's finding his uses. Still gladly take Newman over him, though. Yeah, it's kind of crazy that was still the record.
Yeah, I know.
You're playing a full season. Oh man, kind of nuts. Zoe, it's been a long week of boring games, so it feels like it's been a minute since a multi-goal game. I mean, it has been. Like, it was a while since we've kind of seen them in this situation. I almost wonder if the broadcast felt that way too, RJ, because we had the game was 3-2 Jets, and we had that long story from Edzo about, you know, how he found out he was traded from the Leafs to the Jets back in the day. And it felt like the kind of story that he would say over these last couple games, where the Kraken are down by multiple goals and they're not going to come back and it's kind of towards the end. And instead he took about 6 or 7 minutes to kind of ramble through that story in the middle of a 1-goal game. And I think it was just because we haven't seen the Kraken in this situation for a while.
And through a Kraken power play at that too. I know Forsley needed to go and get the ad read, and he's just, hold on 1 second. We've got the Muckleshoot Casino power play. Thank you. All right, go ahead. You know, that was pretty funny though.
Yeah, that is. I mean, it was a lot of fun to kind of watch that one. Edward, so what top draft prospect will follow us now that we've picked up our lucky very late season Winnipeg loss. I mean, that's true. Last time this happened, RJ, it was season one, and it resulted in us getting Shane Wright, having the fourth spot. Shane Wright falls to us at four. That's a tough one, Edward. I mean, I don't know, RJ, is Celebrini fall to 8-9? Can it happen?
I think that's even less likely. I mean, I guess we'll know if there one or two mock drafts right beforehand start having him fall that far, then maybe some people will be in the know. But no, that won't happen. But you never know, an extra 0.5%, 1% in the lottery odds could make all the difference if the lottery balls go the right way. But, you know, I think possibly, you know, it always is good to pick higher in the draft, whether we were just talking about actually during the game, the difference between 8 and 9 that can make. Yes. And you use the Sharks as an example. You're like, well, it didn't really matter in 2015, but you know, there were kind of 8 guys on the board. Zach Werenski didn't fall to them. If he did, they probably don't make the Erik Karlsson trade and things probably go a lot better. So you never know.
Yeah. It still makes a difference for sure. Like personally, I can't wait for every Kraken fan to learn who Andre Loshko is when he inevitably wins the Memorial Cup this year. I think Loshko, I've talked about him on the prospect chats over at patreon.com/EmeraldCityHockey, which reminder everybody for the next game, the last game of the season, that is our live commentary game. You can come watch the game with us. We'll be doing it like this in the same room together. It should be a lot of fun. So just want to plug that. Go check it out at patreon.com/EmeraldCityHockey. I've watched Loshko a couple times for that. We've talked about him in the past. And look, the bottom line is, talked a lot about the recent weeks, Kraken needing a power forward. Loshko is that kind of guy. Like, that is what he will probably be at the NHL level if he's able to kind of get there and stick around there. He's got the big body. He's got good hands, likes to be in and around the net. That is a lot of what the Kraken kind of need in their lineup moving forward. So you might be onto something there, Light, for sure. Julia, Bruins lost tonight and Panthers won, so they're facing the Bruins are facing the Leafs in the first round, so they'll probably get to the second round at least.
I think the Panthers kind of played themselves tonight. I don't know that you'd want to play Tampa over Toronto, but I mean, we'll talk about all that stuff though later in the week when we have our Red Glare. I can't wait to do that playoff first round preview episode, because I know we have some opinions on the first round series.
Definitely, and that'll also be over at patreon.com/EmeraldCityHockey, but definitely a fun day for all the playoff scenarios kind of going down in this one. Like, the other thing about Forslund is the part of why he's here is he wanted to follow Ron after the Canes let him go. He's already a national broadcaster, not much more fame to chase. Yeah, I think it would be the family connections, kind of going home, being near family, all that kind of stuff that would kind of be the draw, which I'm never going to blame somebody for if that was the scenario there. Jessica, we made a Forslund bobblehead. He can't leave.
It's true. The one team to do it.
That is true. I think the article that got shared about it today on Twitter, at least the one I saw, was actually posted at the beginning of April. So it's not like it's a new rumor. I'm not too worried about it. Yeah, it just kind of got redone because it was like made official that Jack Edwards was going to retire at the end of the season. So it kind of went around. I had people at the watch party asking me about this. It has been out there.
Yeah, I think I actually have a Forslund bobblehead within arm's reach of you, Dylan. There
this,
it is.
This guy.
Yeah.
This guy. Look at that.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Put it on post game.
This is nice. Right there at the foot of the guest bed, so he gets to watch me all night. Oh, I feel safe.
hey, what do you say?
Yes. He'll trade him out for Fuji, I think. Something I thought about that I was going to save for prospect chat, but I feel like Cartier has become what we had hoped Melanson would be. That's an interesting point. I think there is something to that, right? We thought Jacob Melanson was going to be that kind of power forward, pesky, go out there physical presence for the Seattle Kraken. He's kind of maybe struggled a little bit at the AHL level, whereas Ty Cartier is just, he's overperformed everywhere he goes, right? He just outperforms the expectations for him. And he really has kind of turned into that physical presence, maybe not so much of a pest, but at the same time, he doesn't take a bunch of penalties the way Melanson does. So that's a benefit.
And for the pest thing, I really think he's getting there. If he wants to kind of emphasize that part of his game, he's shown he can get under the skin of guys like Connor McDavid, Robertson, Fiala this season. If he wants to lean into that, I think he can do it.
Yeah, yeah. And some more prospect talk here from Via Ren. Should we root for Kitchener and Sudbury, I suppose, to get swept so Chalet, Rykoff, and Goyette might make it to Coachella Valley before the end of the regular season? That is really an interesting idea, RJ, because I would love to see that. I mean, Goyette's going to be, this is it for him, right? Whenever Sudbury's gone, that's it for Goyette. Chalet and Rykoff will have another year of junior eligibility, but as we saw last year, it doesn't hurt to kind of get them in and get them exposed to Coachella Valley, which is, you know, something Goyette did last year. That is interesting. I don't know. I like the idea of them having the playoff experience in their respective leagues and kind of going on that journey, especially for Goyette, because it's kind of like his last ride. I don't know how much Coachella Valley would really put them in at the end of the regular season either, right? They're going to want to finalize their playoff roster, their playoff lineup. I don't know that you would bring them in, get them like two games maybe, or even just one, and then you immediately go into playoff mode and they're on the bench.
Is there one of those three that you think might benefit the most though from being in Coachella Valley?
It's Goyette probably. Like, I think one, because he's going to be there next year, and I could see him being somebody who starts off in the bottom six, but then steadily rises through the lineup. Or even if they decide to go really young, which is something we've talked about because they have a lot of free agents there, it's possible Goyette could end up, you know, middle six and then top six as the season goes on. I also think Goyette realistically would bring the most to the table for the Firebirds this year. He's a guy who I project to be like a bottom six center. He can be a good two-way player. He can help drive some offense, provide some skill lower down a lineup, but also just kind of help keep other teams from kind of doing their thing. I think he could come in and kind of maybe do a little bit of what Shane Wright did last year as the fourth line center through the playoffs, where he just kind of provides some energy, a little bit of a spark further down the lineup, and just add support where it's needed. He can play both special teams if you need him to. So I think Goyette really makes the most sense of the three guys.
Okay.
That's just my opinion anyway. Feel free to, you know, lots of other people watch him. Feel free to put that in there. Jessica asking, what counts as a hit?
It's a little bit subjective, but I know the off-ice officials do have specific things that they look for. I know, I don't know what exactly it is because I don't have the little manual that they're given. That's not public, but there are certain criteria that they look for what constitutes a hit that they're given. But of course, even if different people are given the same sheet of, you know, it has to be this, 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 and this, they're going to interpret that a little differently. And so it does kind of change from building to building in the league.
Yeah. And like saying, I believe a hit is classified as separating a puck holder from the puck. I've heard that too, but I don't know that it's always followed like letter of the law to that.
Yeah.
There's been times where it's just like, you give them one of these into the boards.
And yeah, like what's a hit versus a rub out? Yeah. What is, or if a player just passes the puck and releases it, but you finish your check, is that a hit? Which I think it should be. You know, there's different things.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Yeah, we can demonstrate.
I know, we can do this. Let's go. If I ran Dylan plus RJ plus community over ESPN crew. Yeah, no, we heard everybody loud and clear. Next year, the live game commentary game's absolutely going to be for those ESPN broadcasts to spare us all. it'll be good. Let's see. Ricky Forslund's from MA, original six, jobs rarely become available. Plus, he can do East Coast games nationally. Discussed this a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, like I said, there are reasons why I could see it happening, but we won't know until we know. This is the bottom line. Let's see. If ECH wanted to do post-game day recaps of the playoffs, I would 100% watch. From Brooke. That's an interesting one. We've never done something like that before. What we do is, like, on Patreon, we keep the Patreon up and running, and we end up doing live commentary games for playoff games to hang out with everybody and watch playoff games together. So we've done that in the past. And then, but that's an interesting one. We could maybe do that for like the finals or something.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that. But yeah, during the playoffs, though, we do have live game commentaries. They're just for non-Kraken playoff games. So I think we did a couple for the Cup final last year. Of course, we had Kraken games for longer, you know, that we could cover. But we're definitely going to do that again, I think, this year's playoffs. Yeah,
definitely, definitely. JMG, tough decision. Listen to the ESPN broadcast or RJ and Dylan. I mean, it's a tough call. I know. I know. And that should be talked about too. Also, like, shout out to Root for another fantastic year for from everybody involved, right? Like, it was another fantastic year for them covering the Kraken. I mean, it's, you know, we all know the difficulties as far as like finding Root and being able to stream it and all of that stuff, but that's not on the people who do the broadcasts and all the people that we interact with on the media side of things. So I just want to shout them out for another great season there as their season wraps up with this game today.
Yeah, definitely. It's an A-plus broadcast team, and especially me getting to spend so much time around a lot of them. I mean, they so much work that you never see goes into those broadcasts, and I mean, they just do a great job, and they have since year one. And yeah, I mean, it kind of sad it's the last one of the season for them.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Stratic, what counts as a hit changed in the middle of this year, and they reevaluated all the previous recorded hit tallies. Yeah, that was something we had talked about, and a lot of the hit totals were raised, inflated, whatever word you want to use there. But yeah, it shows kind of how subjective and arbitrary adjacent the idea of them are. Brooke, RJ's always yawning on the stream. It's because he's a cat person. It's what they do.
Yeah, it's true. Really sitting still for an hour, I don't know. My body just does that. I need to get up and run, but unfortunately can't do that yes. on these streams. I could do post-game while jogging, that would be the ideal for me.
You could go talk to Darren about that.
There we go. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that worked. Byron, I figured it would more likely be for them to get a regular season game than a playoff game, although they did play Goyette in the playoffs last year. Yeah, I think realistically one game I don't know is going to make a ton of difference for, say, like Rykov or Chalet. The idea is they're going to go and they're going to join Coachella Valley and they're going to be practicing with that team and being a part of that playoff experience kind of no matter what. And that's really what the big deal is that they're going to be able to see kind of how professionals run, how a really good organization, a really great coaching staff is going to be able to work with them kind of no matter what. I don't know that kind of a meaningless regular season game is really going to give them any sort of meaningful reps or time. So I don't know that it matters too much there. Let's see. Karts should be net fronts on the power play a lot more, seems to care from Ricky. It's an interesting thought, RJ.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely does go to those areas. He has the size to battle, you know, in those spots. I don't know. I haven't really seen him there. Because remember, in Coachella Valley, we watched him last year. He wasn't there. He was in the bumper spot, which they actually used in Coachella Valley. And so I don't know how much experience he has there. It's the kind of thing that if you're looking at it this season, where they just really didn't have many solutions there, you might want to try it out. But hopefully next season, you've made the roster move so that you hopefully have somebody better to put there and try out there.
Yeah, and to be honest, I liked in the little bit of time that we saw from him, I really liked Maddie Netfront on the power play. Like, I think he has the hand-eye coordination to get tips. He seems to have that kind of, you know, eyes in the back of his head. He knows where the goalie is so he can adjust and always kind of stay in front for the screen. I still think that that's something I want to explore next season is more full-time having Maddie Beniers Netfront on one of the power play units, just because I think that could really benefit him and also hopefully maybe get him to take more shots in and around the crease, something that would also benefit him, you know, from a numbers production standpoint wise. That would be really nice. Ricky pointing out also for you know, prospect-wise, draft-wise, Yzerman's dropped out of the top 10. Yeah, that one's going to be an interesting one, especially as it concerns the Kraken, because, I mean, he is a fantastic goal scorer. He's doing it in the USHL, which has really proven to be a very phenomenal league right now at producing high-level prospects, guys who are able to adjust to the NHL fairly quickly. He's probably a guy who would only need one season going to play in, like, the NCAA or wherever he decides to go. Before being able to make that NHL leap. And what we've seen is that the point totals and more specifically the goal totals that guys have been able to score in that league, it really tracks and it follows moving forward. So certainly I think that's going to be the kind of person that the Kraken are going to have to keep an eye on is somebody like Yzerman, just because somebody who can put up as many goals as he did in a very good league now, that's going to translate. I mean, that's exactly what they need, right? Like, they need goals. He's perfect.
Yeah, you're the prospects guy. I haven't even started really looking yet, I defer to you completely on this stuff right now.
Let's see, Patrick. Will we still have Root next year? I know there's rumors about a streaming service. Again,
we don't know.
Don't know. I have no idea. That would be, yeah, we just don't know. Via Ren, live commentary for the Firebirds, SEB Firebirds live commentary would be so fun. That is something we could definitely try to do.
Yeah, a lot of people seconding that in chat. That might be fun.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun, actually. Yes, and maybe some post games too, because I know I plan to drive out there for a decent amount of the playoff games and stuff as well.
So actually, post games would be cool. If you're out there and you can just join along, we run it like the Kraken post games, just like this.
Especially because, oh man, the media availabilities down there are just fantastic. The players are so much fun. They're very open about things. Disco Dan, right? Given the coaching talk, it's a lot of fun.
See if our Firebirds friends want to hop on. I know we got people like around the team and the media. They could join you.
Yep.
I'm liking this idea.
I think we're going to have to. We just pitched it too well. this is a good one, chat, for sure. Lots of people on there. RJ, you need one of those walking pads and a standing desk, lol.
Yeah, I do. That would be nice.
Let's see. Burnscramp. Oh, what?
I see Stratic. If Forslund leaves, I want Fitz you. Now, that's something I heard discussed. You know, if Forslund were to leave, I think that'd be a great way to take advantage of the super deep bench that you have, you know, so to speak, on that Root broadcast. Like, I think he could do it.
Oh, he could absolutely do it. I mean, anybody who's listened to Kraken coverage on the radio knows how great Everett Fritzhugh is. He did a game year one, right? Or was it last year?
I think it might have been last year. Was it against Winnipeg? I don't remember.
It might have been, actually.
But yeah, he did one game last year, and I thought he was great.
Yeah, so that would be a really good one. I think that would be a lot of fun. And then Burnt Krem saying, Allison just said thank you for the last 3 years.
Well, I mean, you know.
I know, but conspiracy time, RJ. Why not? That's what the day is all about when it comes to the conspiracy. Yeah, no, that is something you could just say because it's been 3 years.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I mean, we'll say some form of that after the next post game.
Yes, that is true. That is true. We're not going anywhere. Unless Root and or a potential future streaming partner of the Kraken wants to bring us on board. Throw that one out there. We are open and listening. Edward, I wish Root wasn't so hard to access, especially for cord cutters, because all the praises the broadcast team gives me a case of FOMO. Yes, I mean, that is by far and away it's really the only complaint everybody has with Root, is just how inaccessible it is. The streaming options for it are unbelievably limited. Even if you're not a cord cutter and you still have cable, it became harder to get this year as it kind of went into its own premium package. That is the one reason why I could think that there would be an openness to maybe leaving Root as the broadcasting partner for the Kraken, is just because the Kraken want to go with somebody that's going to be more accessible to fans.
Right. I mean, that's the biggest and easiest way to grow a fan base, is just to have people watching the games. Hockey kind of sells itself, but if it's hard to watch the games, you know, what can you do? So I think it's something the Kraken certainly have to evaluate in the offseason, not saying they have to pick one direction or another, but it's something that should be on their radar.
Yeah. And it's one of those too, right? You know, you spend a lot of time, you're trying to get a friend or whatever into the Kraken and following them. They're finally like, all right, well, how do I watch a game? And you're like, well, first you're going to need to sign up for Fubo, and then you're going to need to whatever. And then you're going to have to make sure you're not locally blacked out or whatever, right? Like, it becomes kind of a nightmare, and it's a very high barrier of entry that just kind of shouldn't be there.
Or if you have like $200 to spend, you know, just on a whatever day, you can go to a game.
Yeah, you know, that too. So just wait until the day of, pick up a ticket for $15.
Hopefully that won't be possible next year.
That's the idea anyway. Sam, so Dylan, here's my prediction on what your top seven draft prospects are. Celebrity, Demidov, Levishonov, Siliev, Zeev, Dickinson, Katten. Excuse me. In no order, how many did I get right without being specific? You got 6 right.
Ooh, okay.
So there you go. Which I feel like is also like the most fun answer I could give to that too.
I think I have a hunch which one is the one not included in
you know,
I won't guess.
Because I told you 2 days ago.
Oh, that's right. You did. That's why I have a hunch.
You better. Oh, man. If we don't have the Root broadcast team next year, I'll be so sad. I know it's probably complicated with contracts and stuff, but if they do switch to a streaming service, I really want the whole crew back from B. And that is something that I think should be doable, right? I mean, if they're going to leave Root, why would Root need to hold all of these hockey analysts and commentators and everything under contract if they're not going to have hockey? So I would assume that they would then kind of be able to become free agents, so to speak, and potentially join what that next step is for Kraken coverage.
Yeah, agreed. It should be possible. And I mean, you know, if you're, why wouldn't you? I think it's easier, right, to stay in the same location, basically just go to doing what you're doing now. The hardest part, I think, of all that was just assembling all that talent together in the first yes. place. I feel if you can do that, you can keep it together.
Definitely. Byron saying with the Fitz, you covering the game, it was the second Ducks game last year when they were having tech issues. I think there was also a year one game. Yeah, it feels like there was something, because I thought I remembered. Was it Winnipeg or was it? I feel like it was a Winnipeg game at home, right?
Right.
It was a home game, I think.
It was, yeah. It was, what was it? Because there was, did Forsland had some kind of prior engagement. I can't remember what it was. Maybe it was a national game or something.
Yeah.
I don't remember. But I do remember, though, he did a good job. I remember my dad even, you know, texted me. He's like, you know, this Everett guy, you know, he's doing great. And I really like him. So, and actually, I talked with Everett, too, after the game. And he said, it's tough because you have to adjust. You have to call a game so differently on TV versus radio. You don't have to describe every little detail, try and paint the picture in people's mind. So he kind of was making that adjustment almost, you know, throughout the game. But I thought he did a great job.
Yeah, no, he definitely did. Ricky, hits are a negatively are negatively correlated with wins. Winning teams don't hit. I've talked about this in the past. It might have been year one, though, like way back in the day. But yes, generally speaking, winning teams don't hit or don't have as high a hit total, because if you're the team with the puck, right, you're the team getting hit. You would much rather be the team that's in possession of the puck for the majority of the game, in which case the other team's going to have more opportunities to get hits and probably end up with more hits. So it is one of those weird things where it looks like on the surface, oh, hey, the Kraken or whatever, you know, insert team X here, needs to be more physical. They're not getting enough hits. But that's probably realistically because they have the puck the majority of the time, which is infinitely more important than the idea of trying to be physical against puck carriers on the other team. You would rather just have the puck. So I'm totally there with you, Ricky. That is definitely the way it goes.
And also, I will say on the other side of it, though, hits are a very catch-all stat, kind of like shots on goal. I think there are quality hits that really do help you have an advantage in a game, but they're counted the same as hits that you take just because, you know, you don't have the puck and you're kind of running around trying to catch the other team. So it's one of those stats that just really doesn't tell a whole story.
Yeah, and then I was talking with somebody too about giveaways, because it was mentioned on the broadcast, right? Kraken, you know, fewest giveaways in the league this year. And I kind of joked, yeah, well, you need the puck to give it away. And it's the same thing. And care to guess the team that's second fewest giveaways this year?
I don't know, is it like San Jose?
It is San Jose. Yeah. So it's one of those things, right? Where, you know, yeah, it looks great that the Kraken, you know, have the fewest giveaways in the NHL this year. But realistically, as we all know, because we've watched them all season long, it's because the Kraken haven't always necessarily had the puck, you know, and or they're not exactly trying to make big dynamic plays where you're at risk of turning it over. So it is kind of one of those things where it's nice and you can talk about it, and you can, if you're the team, mention to the broadcast team, hey, maybe mention this, you know, at the end of this otherwise kind of so-so year. But realistically, when you start thinking about it, it's like, well, that's really not that great, actually. Cole, I know I'm late to the party here, but super happy with the result tonight. A loss for draft purposes, but an exciting one. I'm so happy that everybody's been saying this, RJ, because it's something you and I have both been talking about. I know other people have been talking about it, but it's really nice that we've just kind of, we all got it and everybody's like on board with it and actually kind of happy about it, right? Like I'm excited in, you know, this, to borrow your favorite term, penultimate game of the season. we're able to kind of talk about the game and, you know, look, it's a little bit, it's fun and that's really what matters.
Yeah. Proud of everyone for being on board with it. And I think it's a good reminder too, just having a game in Winnipeg, knowing that, you know, Kraken fans in their recent history, you know, have a loss, late season loss against Winnipeg, they can point to as being a real positive for the direction of the franchise.
Yep, definitely. JMG, I don't think the current Root platform is sustainable. I mean, we know that there's been some talks about that. More so I hear that from like Mariners reporters and stuff, because the Mariners are the majority owner or the sole owner of the network and stuff. It's tough, like, for everybody right now that's kind of trying, having to rely on cable with the amount of cord cutting and all of that stuff. It's none of that is really a sustainable platform anymore when there's so many various ways for fans of sports to be able to go out and get, whether it's their news for sports news, which is something we know a lot about. And it's very much like become just a Twitter space thing, which how do you monetize that? And it becomes like a really interesting problem, or broadcasting, just because in a landscape where anybody can be watching anything at any given time, numbers across the board are just down for everything. And then you factor in stuff like newer generations aren't as interested in sports. And then, you know, overall numbers continue to go down. You have aging demographic issues. It's all unsustainable. And that's one of the weird things that I'm very curious to see moving forward over the next 5, 10, 20 years is just going to be, what does sports media and sports broadcasting look like? Because there will always be a market for sports. People are always going to be interested in it. But as we find more and more ways of making it accessible, you know, without necessarily having it paid for or by as much or any of that kind of stuff, like the monetization of it is going to become like a really interesting problem for everybody to solve. It's something we've kind of had to solve and think about in a weird way here. Let's see, Christian, I wish Root had their own standalone subscription service. That's the one part that I don't understand. I don't understand that for a lot of these, RJ, which is just cut out the middleman and go direct to consumer. Why not?
Yeah. No, I mean, you've seen, you know, teams do that in the past, or even like some networks have tried that. It just makes sense, right?
It does. The only thing is that it might have like high level of like infrastructure costs, right? You need to have the ability to support that and you know, have the servers and all that stuff capable to stream it to X million people and all of that. So it does take like a decent amount of capital on the upfront, and it's kind of continued cost on that side of things. But still, I got to think that that's a better solution.
I mean, when you frame it, because whenever there's something that's that cost intensive, the question, well, can we afford to do this? But I think in a kind of a dying model, the question is, can we afford not to do it?
Exactly. Right. Like it's got us. It's of all the things that I can think of or that any teams in any leagues have been trying, that feels like the most sustainable model for teams. And then it also increases your ability just to kind of talk directly to fans in a slightly different way. And if it's going to be more and more a concentrated group of more hardcore fans that is what's going to be watching sports in the future, then that's probably better too. Let's see. Is it pretty wrong that you're not going to accidentally watch an NHL game on TV without being in a sports bar? How does that grow the game from Jessica? It's true. Man. No, it's very true. There's lots of larger NHL issues and everything as well. Whenever the Kraken games are, they better have, wherever the Kraken games are, they better have Allison. I love her analysis from Joey there. Oh, yeah. I think all of us could get on board with that 1,000%.
Yeah. Indispensable part of the broadcast. She just levels it up, you know, so much.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Julia, yeah, you definitely can't get a convoluted 10-minute childbirth story on a radio broadcast. No, we probably wouldn't have that happening.
There's people wondering what the heck is going on with the game.
People just tune in their radios. You just end up on that and you're just like, what? That doesn't make sense.
Wondering what sort of talk radio program you've stumbled onto.
Exactly. Oh, man. Edward, RJ with the unfair advantage of being a longtime friend of Dylan's to get the inside scoop on Dylan's prospect picks. Yep, he's been playing the long game there for sure. And then if Forsen leaves, do you think Edzo would leave as well?
I don't think so. And he and his family, I think, are so ingrained in the, you know, his brother is the assistant GM. You know, you got Nick also on the broadcast. I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. The Forslund stuff and the Forslund rumor, like, again, it kind of makes sense specifically for Forslund.
Yeah.
And as we've seen, like, this year with Eddie, right? Like, he is in and out of the lineup. He goes and does his national game coverage. Like, he wouldn't really need to leave for anything that he would be doing there. Let's see, Kimberly, I love listening to the radio broadcast. The way they say things gets me laughing. It's really fun. No, it's a ton of fun listening to the radio broadcast for the Kraken. B, whenever I listen to the radio broadcast of games, I'm always very impressed. Losing Forslund would suck, but if Everett was the one to replace him, the quality would still be top tier. I really agree with that.
Definitely. And they've shown on the radio broadcast too. They bring in good people. I like Al, you know, after Dave Tomlinson left for another geographically specific, reason, you know, kind of job, right? Being in Vancouver, and it just made sense. But yeah, I mean, between, you know, Everett, Al, and Mike Benton, they all do a great job.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Let's see, Ricky, Islanders count jumping the board as a hit. Oh my God. They do. like again, it's just one of those Some buildings really count them differently. Cole, is Matthews going to get 70 goals? He's got one game left. Sorry, kind of out of left field. No, thank you for bringing this up, Cole. Yeah. RJ, is Austin Matthews getting to 70?
It feels inevitable. And I know, so you can talk about it more for no other reason. So I know, Cole, that's probably Dylan's favorite chat of the whole post game. So there you go.
That would be fantastic if that does happen. Really, really looking forward to that. And then, as we know, right? I mean, he then becomes the heart favorite, according to Edzo.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, if he's not, he already is.
I know. I just want it to happen so that we have a 70-goal scorer, and then, you know, we already have one, but potentially 200-assist seasons from two other players in the league, just because I think that's really, really strong for the league to kind of bank on that, and they can start transitioning away, towards the idea of, look, we are a higher scoring league right now. The skill level is as high as it's ever been. We're having numbers posted that haven't been posted since the greatest players of all time kind of have been playing. And so I think that would be a really big deal if all of these players were able to hit those very specific milestones, just so that the league could kind of lean into it from a marketing perspective. I think that's the kind of thing that they need to do. And it would force them to push players as the lead. Yep. RJ, could you imagine that?
I know. I don't know if they're capable.
Like I said, it would kind of force their hand, and that's why it needs to happen. Nicole, is there any news on if Root will pick up Firebird's playoff games?
That's right. They did for some from last year. I would hope so, but I haven't heard anything.
I would assume it just has to do with, you know, whatever the rights, the broadcasting rights situation is with the Firebirds and with the AHL. Things get weird and sketchy with the broadcasting rights with the AHL for some reason sometimes, because like AHL TV takes priority at times. So it would have to do with that. But given that they did last year, I don't see why that couldn't happen this year, especially with the Kraken not being in the playoffs or anything.
Yeah, I don't think anything of note has changed, at least that we're aware of. So it should be possible.
Yeah. Favorite goal of the game from Zoe, RJ.
I'm going to go with the Yanni Gourde goal, that tip-in goal. And I like that because the area of the ice it's scored from, you know, being at the front of the net, going to those areas, which we've talked about all season, the Kraken don't really do enough of. And then also, it was just such a beautiful tip. I love a great deflection goal. Riker Evans kind of puts it a little bit wide, setting up for that play, and it all just came together really well.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with the Tomas Tatar goal. Because
I know you like that one.
Oh, it was so good because it was a real like team effort too, right? You have Belmar going to the net and kind of giving a moving screen on Hellebuck, which I thought was really important. It's something that we've talked about wanting to see the Kraken do more of moving forward. So I liked that aspect of it, but also the heads up awareness of Tatar to know that he has the defenseman in front of him and uses the defenseman to hide his shot release from Hellebuck. Right. Not only does Hellebuck have to deal with Belmar in front, but he's also got to deal with his own defenseman. And if you go back and you watch the way that Tatar kind of pulls it in and then releases, he's hiding that from Hellebuck using his own defenseman against him. And that's, again, just such a high level, high concept play that he was able to pull off there to beat, you know, the best goaltender in the NHL this year. So I think that's another one where it's just like, that's the kind of stuff that I want to see from more guys on this team moving forward.
And I love hearing all that for a second time, as you were really excited about the goals that happened. Us being in the same room, it's one of the perks, right?
Yeah.
You get to say how much you love that goal. He's like, he uses the defenseman. That's perfect.
Yeah. I mean, but that's the kind of stuff that you got to, you know, get creative with. That's the kind of like next level stuff that really separates kind of the top tier players, right? We were just talking about an Austin Matthews, right? How many times have you seen Austin Matthews do that, right? It's something he does a lot. And so that's something that I would love to see, you know, Shane Wright work on, maybe Matty Beniers work on moving forward, and it could really help them become better goal scorers. JMG, Vegas ratings went up this year when they had some of their games on a free over-the-air channel. Kraken really need to be more accessible. Yes, anytime you make games free and available, people will tune in, right? If there's a low barrier of entry, people will go. And then, you know, you're going to get X percentage of them who are going to become dedicated fans and really start to follow. And then, look, you can monetize them later if you're the team, right? They're going to buy jerseys. They're going to buy tickets to go to games. They're going to buy buoy plushies, all of that great stuff.
A lot of those.
That is the kind of like thinking you've got to take. And right now, I think broadcasting almost has to be your loss leader, to just get people involved with your team and then know that you're going to, you know, they come to a game, you're going to charge them $12 for a hot dog, right? Like, you don't need to then make the broadcasting, you know, cost them an arm and a leg to get involved.
Yeah, the NHL is a very gate-driven league. And of course, that helps you the more people you can kind of get in. And also, you're seeing with the PWHL.
Yes.
Doing a great job having their games super accessible just on YouTube. I have watched so many more PWHL games this season than I had watched the previous women's leagues. Just, I love women's hockey. I always want to watch, but just because it's so much easier, I'm just scrolling on YouTube. Oh, there's a game. I'll put it on.
Yeah. Yeah. The Ricky pointing out Coyotes games were all free over the air this year. Worked out well for them. I mean, the product's got to match. Sell them with the product too.
And the problems were just so much deeper than that.
Yes. There's a lot of people that had kind of already given up on that team and all of those things. That being said, I mean, they were almost sell out every game, so it couldn't have been too bad.
That's true. And then, I mean, you look at the
sarcasm, everybody.
Well, the revenue though. Remember, they were putting those numbers about how they were actually like had more million-dollar games.
Yes.
It actually kind of did help.
They were financially more successful than they had been. So maybe there is something there. Let's see. Kylie, I actually have been enjoying Tatar these last few games. I'll miss Tatar Tots, Tatar Sauce, Tuna. I mean, he's one of the greatest when it comes to nicknames. And then, of course, just his name, but said with such emotion, RJ, as Canadians fans, you know, let us know about. I mean, statistically, he's been more likely this season to score a goal in any one single game than to not score. So the chances are decent. Be referring to Austin Matthews there. It's nuts. It's absolutely crazy, especially after covering the Kraken, RJ. That's the other thing that just makes it seem like
you can't imagine.
It's a different league or something than what we've been watching so much of with this Kraken team. The idea that yes, you're you know, you go to 9 out of 10 games and you're going to see him score a goal or whatever it is, like that's nuts.
It's unthinkable.
It's crazy. Alan, piping in late, but I'm not upset about the loss. If every game was that much effort this season, I think we would have been much closer to playoff expectation than we ended up. I agree with that, Alan. I also think we would have, you know, a lot of the mentality around the team and from the fan base would be very different too, right? Like you wouldn't have seen so many people get as frustrated. You wouldn't have seen as many calls to fire the coach or to trade away guys. And a lot of the ups and down roller coaster of it all that fans have, you know, ultimately had to take sides on this guy. Should we be getting rid of so-and-so or whatever? I don't think any of that happens if they're able to play every game kind of like they were able to play tonight.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the effort, that's one of the biggest things that I think when it was missing, it was really clear and obvious. But I think that people, as you're saying, Alan, that appreciate when it's there.
Yes, definitely. Ricky, your room is bigger than Mullet. You're not far off.
Yeah.
I would say this is probably closer to Mullet than Mullet is to, you know, CPA.
Yeah.
So. Oh, man. Good stuff there. Julia, are you guys in the PHWA and eligible to vote for the Hart Trophy?
So I am. I'm a member of the PHWA, but I'm not eligible to vote for the Hart. They only have certain members of the association vote on all the major awards every year. I did not get the email with the ballots this year, so maybe next year, hopefully next year. But the one award I do vote on is the Masterton.
Yeah.
So, and Dylan is not.
I established you are. Yeah. Okay. It's all right. It's just because you have to like attend all the games in person, and that's a little difficult for me.
Yeah.
you all in this broadcast is the reason I'm not.
I still think you're a big part of the reason I am, though. We'll get into that story.
Yeah,
but
we don't have to get into that right now. I'd love to see Matthews and McDavid on the same line over 82 games from Striatic. Could you imagine the stupid numbers, RJ?
I know.
Does McDavid get to 200 points?
You know what? I think he would. Given the chemistry together, I think he really could.
It would be close. It would really be close there. Edward, with the talent waiting in the wings in Coachella Valley, looking potentially ready for the jump up to the NHL, will this offseason be the first major roster shift away from the expansion draft? I think we're probably one more offseason away from that, just, you know, because then we're going to have like Tanev's contract will be up, Yanni Gord's contract will be up, but we are in the final days of that.
Yeah, I think it'll be at least one more offseason, just given when the contracts end. I mean, we may still see a move away from, say, like a Tanev or a Gord, but a lot of those guys, like, you know, Schwartz and, you know, I mean, who else of the forward group, you know, Eberle, you know, those two guys, like we know Eberle with the 2 years left on the deal, like those guys are sticking around. So it'll be a little bit longer.
I was just going to say, as long as Ron Francis is in charge, Jordan Eberle is going to stay around forever. So
yeah. Also on the blue line too, with like Larson, Alexiak, all those guys have one more year.
Yeah, exactly. So I think this year we'll still have a bunch of them over the course of the offseason, but the following one is when it's really going to be, you know, the new look Kraken, so to speak. It's going to be interesting. Let's see. Will it be Utah Coyotes or Salt Lake City Coyotes from the Sandpipes? I believe they said Utah, and then also the Coyotes name actually stays with the current owner of the Coyotes. So they're going to have to be named something new, and they will be the Utah blanks.
Yeah, figure it out, fill it out your own way, whatever you like.
And we might not get that name for a little while, too. We talked about that a couple post games ago, but it's possible just with the how fast this all developed, how long it takes to copyright, trademark, come up with all the branding that you're going to need to do. I think there's a solid chance that they will just be the Utah hockey team next year or something equivalent to that while we wait on official branding and all that to get rolled out.
Yeah, I think we could certainly see that given the timeline. Yeah, the hockey equivalent of Washington football team for maybe a year.
Yeah. Alan, best Kraken podcast. Appreciate that one. Sam, surprised no one's mentioned Beast Mode making the trip to Winnipeg. Showed more loyalty to an NHL team than most top Jets draft picks after their ELCs are up. Damn. Oh, man. Sam, going for it. But yes, that was pretty crazy. We both like look up at the screen. We're like,
what is he doing in Winnipeg?
It's Winnipeg.
Yeah. Apparently they said he's filming something there.
Yes, shooting something. That's what we got. So that's interesting. Again, in Winnipeg? I don't know about that one. But yeah, we'll see. When do we get the Fuji plushie? Oh, that's definitely going to be on the off-season list for sure, JMG there. Let's see. What will happen to Arizona's AHL team from Nicole? So the current owner of the Coyotes gets to retain ownership of the Tucson Roadrunners. That's it.
Yeah.
I almost said Tuscany. It's like, oh, damn.
That's a hell of a relocation.
I was going to say, talk about a commute for those guys. So yeah, that's that. They're going to stay the affiliate, but they're going to have separate ownership groups, which is, I mean, I think that's unusual.
I think so. I mean, you have these longer established franchises that have different ownership groups in the NHL team, but this is a little different. Also, they're going to move into playing at Mullet Arena, it sounds like. And so, I mean, it's going to be tough for them because if you have the perspective of a Coyotes fan or someone, you know, who's a hockey fan in Arizona, are you going to pay money to go out and watch this AHL team full of prospects that now you won't get to see play for your NHL team? And giving money to the owner who, you know, was a big part of having the team gone.
Yeah, it's there's no way that it's going to be fun. Like, it's just not going to be good for anybody involved. Will they be Utah at the draft? The Sandpipes asking. They should be. Like, I don't see why they wouldn't be. If they're going to be playing there next year, then they'll be the team for the draft for sure. Has there ever been an NHL or WHA pro hockey team in Utah from Sean?
What were the Grizzlies? Were they IHL? Yeah. I'm sure someone will beat me to that in chat. Viren's still around.
Yeah, but never like that level of professional game, right? NHL, WHA, like not quite that high, I don't believe.
Yeah, ECHL.
Yeah, ECHL. So couple rungs down the ladder there. So generic NHL logo, that's going to be weird. Yeah.
It might be. It might it's for the jerseys the draft picks put on. That might be what it is.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So is that an upgrade or a downgrade to see the Roadrunners over the Yotes? From what I understand, Roadrunners are doing very well from Allen. I mean, they're a pretty decent team for an AHL team. That's true.
And the Coyotes have a great prospect pool that's going to be maybe coming through there. So it'll be interesting. I mean, really, it's just it makes it worse because it shows you what you missed out on.
Yes. Oh, definitely. And then hockey-related movie incoming with a Marshawn cameo.
I would love it. I'd go see it, yeah.
No, why not? It could be good. It could be good. I mean, we know they were shooting some sort of movie at KCI earlier this season. I mean, maybe it could be the same thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of humor that could come from just putting Marshawn Lynch in unfamiliar surroundings. Like, I always think of that time when the Super Bowl was in Houston, they brought him to a town called Houston in Scotland, which is the original Houston. Anybody, go watch that. It's well worth the few minutes of watch time. I think it's pretty funny.
Yeah, exactly. There's lots of good stuff there. So I think it'll be a lot of fun. Browsy in here saying, when Atlanta moved to Winnipeg, they used a generic black and gray jersey with the NHL logo on it for the Winnipeg picks. That's right. Yeah. So my guess is we will see something like that. I love this from Edward too. If Looney Tunes has taught us anything, Roadrunners over Coyotes.
That's true. How had I not made that connection
before? I don't know. That's ridiculous. Yeah. That's so fantastic. Oh, that is.
This is three games in a row for Edward with great comments.
I mean, Edward's always.
I mean, I know it's always stuff, but
that
like,
is that especially is really, notable. Really good. Yeah. That is really, really good. That, you know what? They should be the Utah Roadrunners.
Yeah. Really stupid. Oh, man. Yeah. See if you can get the license to use like the cartoon Roadrunner as the logo.
Oh man, that would be a lot of fun. That would be a lot of fun. Those pictures when the Utah first pick has to wear a black NHL jersey with no logo. It's going to happen. Yeah. It'll be awkward, but hey, it's a fun story. Adds to the legacy. Marshawn and Zamboni was great. It was Jessica. Definitely, definitely. And Viren, Cleveland Monsters apparently used to be the Utah Grizzlies in the AHL. So they've had an AHL team then.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And yeah, Marshawn on Zamboni was great. I got to go back and watch that video again. He was just going for it. I remember, if I can get in a little Edzo story time here. But like when that happened, I think shortly afterward, Piper did this thing for like the Root Post game where she was on the Zamboni and she was so nervous. She's like driving out. I don't want to mess this up. I don't want to ruin it. And I was talking with her the day after they shot it. I'm like, what were you nervous about? They let Marshawn do this. She's like, okay, that's a good point.
Yes. Well, I mean, Marshawn's
part owner of the team. That's yeah, true. A little longer leash there.
A little different there, the overall setup. But yeah, no, really, really good stuff. I mean, any last takeaways from this one, RJ, before we wrap up postgame?
Maybe talk about this game again.
Established, though. It wasn't that bad, actually.
No, it really wasn't. It really wasn't. But I think, you know, ultimately, you're looking forward. And I mean, hey, it gives me a little hope that they might play fun in the last game of the season. We do have the live commentary.
Yep.
And I'm looking forward to that regardless. But if they could, you know, I don't want to tell them to lose, but if they could lose fun or win fun, whichever way they want to do it, I think that'd be pretty great.
I'll say it. Go lose fun, guys. Either that or, you know what, last game of the year, have it be your first multi-goal comeback. Because we almost saw that today, right? Like that was part of the potential narrative was the Kraken were able to score two to tie a game. That's pretty ridiculous. So I mean, you know, in like a fun skater way, I mean, my SoCal creeping out there. But yeah, I think that was a lot of fun. And that's something that I'll think about from this one. It's just like the Kraken proved like, hey, we could do this. And I think that was kind of nice to see.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was good.
And Viren with the Minnesota and fun are not compatible. Counterpoint, Darren Brown, Sound of Hockey.
Ooh. Got you there. And Virginia Dillon, will you still be here for Thursday's game? Yes. Like I said, we'll be doing live game commentary like this together in the same room, watching the game with the community over at patreon.com/EmeraldCityHockey. Should be a lot of fun. And then right back here for post game as well afterwards with everybody else. So should be a lot of fun. Want to thank everybody for joining us. Want to thank Flatstick Pub.
You get to do there it. There
go.
It is.
There we go. For sponsoring the post game live as they have all season long. I know it's coming to an end, but it's been really, really great to have Flatstick Pub on board for this year. Really appreciate all the love and support that they've been able to give to ECH and the ECH community with the watch parties that we've been able to have this season. So really great to have them. Want to thank them. Want to thank you all for showing up, and we will see you all on Thursday.